والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with the aqidah of Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari, rahimahullah, from his book Al-Ibana an Usul al-Diyana. In the aqidah of the Muslims, we come to the point, فَهَاؤُلَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةُ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَخِلَافَتُهُمْ خِلَافَةُ النَّبُوَّةِ وَنَشْهَدُ بِالْجَنَّةِ لِلْعَشَرَةِ الَّذِينَ شَهِدَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِهَا وَنَتَوَلَّى سَائِرَ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَنَكُفُّ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ وندين بأن الأئمة الأربعة خلفاء راشدون مهديون فضلاء لا يوازيهم في الفضل غيرهم. The statement of Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari rahimahullah, and they are the imams after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their khilafa is the prophetic khilafa. And we bear witness that the 10 that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness to are in Jannah. We bear witness that they're in Jannah, and that we befriend and we take as protectors the rest of the companions of the, or the remaining of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we refrain from discussing that which took place between them or the arguments that took place between them. And we worship Allah on the belief that these four imams are the rightly guided khalifas, and that they are outstanding in their virtues, and that no one other than them has the virtues of them. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the virtues or the point of our belief that we worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon, and that is that we love the Salaf al-Salih, or that we love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we began with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and some of his virtues radiallahu anhu, and then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And today the Shaykh rahimahullah is just summarizing up this point of our belief of the outstanding virtues of our Salaf al-Saleh, or our righteous predecessors radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, and those referring to the four imams, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Faruq, Uthman ibn Affan ibn Nurayn, and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that they are the four imams after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and their khilafah or their leadership is the prophetic khilafah. And by this, the Shaykh Hafidhahu rahimahullah, he's referring to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خِلَافَةُ النَّبُوَّةِ ثَلَاثُونَ سَنَةً ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى اللَّهُ مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَوْ الْمُلْكُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the prophetic khilafah, or this prophetic leadership, is 30 years. Then Allah would give the kingdom to whoever He wills, or that Allah would give kingship to whoever He wills afterwards. Safina, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu, who narrated this hadith, explains with his statement, amsaka khilafat to Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu sanatayn wa khilafat Umar 10 sinin. وخلافة عثمان 12 سنة وخلافة علي 6 سنين. سفينة رضي الله عنه, and this was his nickname. سفينة really in the Arabic language means like a carrier, a big like a cargo boat or whatever. And they used to say that سفينة رضي الله عنه, that he was able to carry when they were traveling on his back more than anybody could carry رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said, you take 2 years for the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and you take 10 years for the Khilafah of Umar, and you take 12 years for the Khilafah of Uthman, and you take 6 years for the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu. And here he's trying to show that this is 30 years. 2 plus 10 is 12, plus 12 is 24, plus the 6 of Ali radiallahu anhu is 30, and this is the khilafah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke about in this authentic hadith. And this is what our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah is referring to when he calls it the prophetic khilafah, meaning that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself spoke of this real khilafah, or this real leadership, and that it would take place for only 30 years after him sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and then Allah would give the kingdom, and Allah knows best to this translation, the kingdom to whoever He wills, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow after that time for the people to be kings, in the sense that people will inherit the leadership and so on and so forth, not that the leadership would be given to those people who are deserving of the leadership, meaning that it will just be inherited after that. And really the Muslims have saw what they saw. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Then the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, he goes on to say, and we bear witness that the people are in Jannah, the 10 that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore witness that are in Jannah. And here the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, he's referring to that which the people usually refer to in their aqidahs, and that these four rightly guided khalifas are the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best of this ummah after his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they include this other six, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, asharatu fil jannah, an-nabiyyu fil jannah, wa Abu Bakr fil jannah, wa Umar fil jannah, wa Uthman fil jannah, وعلي في الجنة والطلحة في الجنة والزبير في الجنة وسعد بن مالك في الجنة وعبد الرحمن بن عوف الجنة، ولو شئت لسميت العاشر. فقالوا من هو؟ قال سعيد بن زيد رضي الله عنه. And then he said, وقال لمشهد رجل منهم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لمشهد رجل منه مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغبر منه وجهه خير من عمل أحدكم ولا عمر عمر نوح. سعيد بن زيد رضي الله عنه he says, and this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, 10 are in Jannah. The Prophet is in Jannah. Abu Bakr is in Jannah. Umar is in Jannah. Uthman is in Jannah. Ali is in Jannah. Talha is in Jannah. Az-Zubair is in Jannah. Sa'd ibn Malik is in Jannah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is in Jannah. And then he stopped. And this is 9 people. And he said, radiallahu anhu, and if I liked, I would have mentioned number 10. This is Sa'id ibn Zayd speaking. So the people asked him, and who is this 10? He said, Sa'id ibn Zayd. In another narration, he said, I am the 10th. And then he said, I swear by Allah that a man from amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who got his face dirty, referring to fighting in jihad, fi sabilillah, with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is better indeed than any one of you, even if you lived as long as Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Even if you lived 950 years trying to do good deeds of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that you wouldn't be equal to the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that fought in one battle with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So here we see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is the one that said 10 are in Jannah. And the people usually mention this to show the order of firstly Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and then to mention the rest of those 10 in Jannah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam singled them out in this hadith when he said 10 is in Jannah. And we had mentioned earlier along when we were covering or explaining this aqidah, some of the hadith of the other companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Prophet said is in Jannah. As we know that he said Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu is in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of Khadija being in Jannah radiallahu anha, and Fatima radiallahu anha being in Jannah, and Hassan and Al-Husayn, the children of Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that they are in Jannah, that Ukasha is in Jannah. And we have brought some of the hadith explaining it, and maybe one of the finer ones is this last person, Ukasha, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will be 70,000 people who will enter into Jannah with no account, meaning they go straight to Jannah, no punishment at all. 70,000. So Ukasha said, Ya Rasulallah, make dua that I be one of them. Prophet ﷺ said, you are one of them. And then somebody else said, Ya Rasulallah, me too. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ukasha beat you to it. And there are other hadith from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ where he says that particular companions are in Jannah, as we had covered in one of our khutbas before. One of the men that was in Jannah, and he was the man that didn't have any hatred in his heart or enmity towards the believers. And that was a beautiful hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there's a man that's coming in this door and he's going to be from the people of Jannah. So when he came into the door, everybody looked like, who that? And what he got on us to be from the people of Jannah. And then Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Mu'as radiallahu anhu, and I think this is the companion Allah knows best, he said, if the Prophet said he's in Jannah, I gotta find out. He must be doing something, and I want to do it to be in Jannah like he is. So he asked the brother, he said, me and my father, you know, we got into a little dispute, and you know, I just want to stay out the house for a couple of days till, you know, this thing clears over. Can I stay with you? The brother said, no problem.
So really he was just plotting in a good sense to find out what's going on. He said, I stayed 3 days with him. I ain't see him make no extra salat, no fasting, no nothing. And so after 3 days, I said, the Prophet said, there's a man from amongst the people of Jannah entering, and you walked in. So I wanted to find out what you're doing. Wallahi, you ain't doing no more than none of us doing. What is the Messenger of Allah talking about that you got that we don't have that makes you from amongst the people of Jannah? And he said, wallahi, I don't know. What you saw is the only thing I have to offer. And then as Abdullah was walking away, he said, except I don't hold any hatred or enmity in my heart of the believers. And then Abdullah bin Amr, he said that this is the thing that you have that we can't handle. And that's why you're from amongst the people of Jannah. Now we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people of Jannah, even if we fall short. Now we have mentioned in any hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam says that so and so is in Jannah, then we believe and we bear witness to that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam had bore witness to that are in Jannah. Except that the ulama, they single out these 10, not as some of the people say racism or they're against Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu because they don't mention him in these 10. This isn't to deny the fact that other people amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhum are in Jannah, but this is to single out those who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had singled out, and all of these companions had their virtues, as we had saw some of the four rightly guided khalifas. And maybe in the future, inshallah ta'ala, we try to take some more time to mention some of the virtues of the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And then the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he says, and we befriend the remaining companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We take as our closest friends the remaining companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we refrain from delving into the issues that they argued about. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَالْكُفَّارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, your only wali, or your only close friend, is Allah and His Messenger, and those who believe, those who establish the salah and pay the zakat, and you find them bowing down. And whoever befriends Allah and His Messenger, and those who believe, indeed the party of Allah, they are the victorious. O you who believe, don't take those who make mockery of your deen, and to make fun of your deen from those people who have been given the book, from the Jews and the Christians before you, and from the kuffar in general, as close friends. And fear Allah indeed if you are believers. And fear Allah if you are believers. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in these ayah, He shows us that our friends are those who believe, those who establish the salah and pay the zakat, and the first people who were the believers, or the only believers at the time of this ayah, was the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhum, that they were the only believers when this ayah was revealed. And oftentimes we have to take in mind when we read the ayah in the Quran and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is speaking about the believers, we think of us all the time as the believers. And there were people who believed before us, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also shows us in these ayah, as He teaches us who to befriend, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala follows it up with who not to befriend. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as we mention often, He does this in His book as He shows us how to establish the Tawheed, and then He shows us the opposite of Shirk. And then when He shows us what is Iman, He shows us the opposite of Kufr, which is Kufr. And when He shows us the Halal, He shows us the Haram. When He shows us what is right, He shows us what is wrong. When He shows us the way to Jannah, He shows us the way to the Hellfire. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He shows us who to take as our close friends, He tells us and shows us who not to take as our close friends. As He says, and do not take those as close friends, those who make mockery and fun of your deen from the people who have been given the book and the kuffar in general, if you are in fear of Allah, if you are believers. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابِ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. Indeed, the close friend, the wali, is Allah, the one who revealed the book, referring to the Qur'an, and Allah befriends the righteous. And definitely amongst the righteous are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, as when we make our dua in the salat, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, and when we give the salams on the righteous servants of Allah, that we were referring to none other than the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as the whole ummah agrees that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are righteous and trustworthy, and there's no discussion about their outstanding virtues or their position in this deen of al-Islam, and that they are above everyone and that no one is above them, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. I wanted to mention some of these other ayat where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes it clear to us this issue of who we should befriend. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, verse 28, لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاه ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us, and the believers do not take the disbelievers as their friends besides the believers. And whoever does this, فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ, then Allah doesn't have anything to do with him, except that they have some taqwa after that, after their mistake, if they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah warns them from himself. Allah tells you, be aware, like Allah is telling you to be aware of me and my punishment, because I'll punish you if you disobey me by taking the disbelievers as friends besides the believers, and to Allah is your final abode. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 139, الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, those who take the disbelievers as friends besides the believers, do they seek any might or any power from this? Indeed, all of the power is for Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is warning us against taking the disbelievers as our friends, thinking that we have some might or some power. And this is how you see the ignorant Muslims who have left the Siratul Mustaqim, that a part of their program is taking the disbelievers as their friends. And this is why they think that all of their political contacts can help Islam. Do you seek any power and might from them? Indeed, the power is for Allah. All of the power is for Allah. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala describes those people as people are amazed when you call some people munafiqs because of what they do. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen with this description. The believer. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, the power and the might is for Allah and His Messenger and the believers, but the munafiqs, they don't know that. And this is why you see that the munafiqs always trying to get the kuffar politicians to help Islam, as if they're going to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, seeking the power with them, when they should be turning to the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in so many ayat in His Quran. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the same surah, Surah Al-Nisa, verse 144, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. O you who believe, do not take the disbelievers as friends besides the believers. Do you want to give Allah a clear proof against yourselves? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes this issue very clear to us, who we should befriend. And they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firstly and foremostly, and then the believers in general after that. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala warns us from taking the disbelievers as friends, and whoever takes them as friends indeed is amongst them. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in some of the ayat in the Quran, and the ayat on this issue are many, and we hope that the lecture is soon, inshallah ta'ala, on al-wala wal-bara, and who are the people that we must befriend, and who are the people that we need to sever the ties with and to cut them off, as explained by Allah in His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There's the dua of Salatul Witr, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَتَوَلَّنَا فِي مَن تَوَلَّيْتَ, and to make us befriend, and we befriend those who you have befriended. This is the dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, or part of the dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making in the dua of the witr. Let me start from the beginning so I can get it. Allahumma ahdina fiman hadayt, wa'afina fiman afayt, wa tawallana fiman tawallayt. Alright, yeah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making this dua. O Allah, guide us with those who you have guided. And to cure us and give us a general well-being with those who you have cured and given a general well-being. And make us befriend those who you have befriended. And they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we read the ayah where Allah says, and Allah befriends the righteous. And definitely amongst them are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And if we reflect on the ayah, on the book of Allah, the Quran, and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then for many of these points that there are many evidences to support them, and we're just trying to mention some of them in order to establish the truth, or the proof for the truth of the statements of our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. From Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 10, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and those who come after them. And this ayah comes after two long ayahs from Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah is speaking about the Muhajireen and the Ansar, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah speaks about those who come after them, after the companions. They say, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in Iman. Referring to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims in general who have believed before we have believed in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And don't place any hatred in our heart for those who believe. O our Lord, indeed you are Ra'uf al-Rahim, or you are the compassionate, the most merciful. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in this ayah, He shows the proper way to believe, or the position of those people who come after the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum, and their position concerning them, and that they ask Allah to forgive them, and that they ask Allah not to place any hatred in their heart for them. And this is important that we make this dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, so that we would put into practice the rest of this hadith of the rest of the statement of our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, as he says, and we refrain from discussing or talking about that which they differed upon. When the people bring up the issues, well, what took place between Ali and Muawiyah? Ali was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muawiyah was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we befriend the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, and we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not to place any hatred in our hearts for them, as the Rafidah or the modern day Shia, that they hate the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is teaching us to make dua, don't place any hatred in our hearts. And the people are still talking about there's no difference between the Shia or the Rafidah and the Muslims. The Muslims love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they befriend the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Rafidah, the modern day Shia, they hate the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah give them what they deserve for their hatred of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were many hadith on this issue, and I hope that what we brought was sufficient, and maybe in a future time, inshallah ta'ala, we would bring some more detail. But it seems like this point has been discussed quite often, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Abu Hassan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he continues with his statement, and we worship Allah with our belief that the four imams are the rightly guided khalifas, and that they are outstanding in their virtues, and that no one has the same virtues as they have. And we can see this from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالٌ. And this authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I advise you to hear and obey, referring to your leaders. And indeed, whoever amongst you lives, he will see many differences of an opinion. So I command him to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who come after me. Hold firmly to what they brought, and be aware of the newly invented matters, because every bid'ah is a strain. Now this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions the rightly guided khalifas after him. And the Ummah of Ahl Sunnah has all agreed unanimously that they are the four rightly guided khalifas. That they are the four rightly guided khalifas: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing us that if there's any differencing in this deen, then to take it back to those rightly guided khalifas. And this is just amongst the proofs and the evidences to show that their virtues are more than anyone other than them, even amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As we know from the other hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة قيل ما الواحدة يا رسول الله قال ما أنا عليه اليوم أصحابي. The Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah will be divided into 73 sects. All of them are in the fire except one. They said, and which one is that, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the one that I am upon, the one that is upon what I am upon today, and my companions. Here the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he showed that in general, that the people who are on the Siratul Mustaqeem, the way they're supposed to be, they're upon what the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon. And this shows that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ are better than the rest of humanity. As the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. From the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the finest of humanity is my generation, then the one that precedes them, then the one that precedes them. But here in this hadith of al-Irbad ibn Sariya, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ singles out the rightly guided khalifas amongst the whole companions, to show that their place is above everyone else. Now we remember when we were quoting the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, where he said, during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to say the best of this ummah after its Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. So this shows that this understanding that these people are the best of this ummah and that no one has the virtues that they have was held during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith that we had mentioned earlier, the Prophet is in Jannah, Abu Bakr is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah, Uthman is in Jannah, Ali is in Jannah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began with these four, showing that no one has the virtues that these four have, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. And this is the explanation or the final, inshallah ta'ala, explanation of the statement, and we back up to it where we began. And we worship Allah with our belief that we love the Salaf. I just wanted to pause for a minute. Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, we have mentioned that he died 324 Hijrah. And every day as I'm reviewing for classes and reading my best to try to stay abreast of what I know of, the little of, that I know of this deen of al-Islam, you find this word as-salaf flooded in all of the books of Islam. So much so that I'm amazed that any person who says he's a person of knowledge and he says that, what is this thing of the salaf? This is proof that he hasn't read one book on Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, otherwise he'd had no right to even mention. And amongst the books that are read more so than any other books are the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. It's one of the most widely spread tafsirs from the great scholar of tafsir Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. And his book is flooded with the word salaf. Amongst the other books that's widely read is the Fathul Bari, or the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. Almost every page, on every explanation of every hadith, and our Salaf say, and the position of the Salaf was, and the Salaf used to understand this issue like that, and that issue like this, and I'm just amazed, as we see here, in the Aqeed of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashri rahimahullah, the mentioning of the Salaf, and the people act as if it started 1400 years later, here in East Orange, as some of the people think, or as some of the people whose ignorance isn't to that level, they think that it started during the time of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, 200 years ago. But this has been around, alhamdulillah, from the tongue of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, up into our generation. And we worship Allah with our belief that we love the Salaf. And they are those that Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen to be the companions of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we praise them by that which Allah praises them with. And we befriend all of them. And we say that indeed the outstanding Imam after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. May the pleasure of Allah be upon him. And that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his deen mighty. And made it victorious over the apostates by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that the Muslims have placed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as the Imam over them. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made him the Imam for the Salah. And everyone unanimously calls him the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And then Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah brighten his face. And indeed, those who killed him wrongly and unjustly. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They are the Imams after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their Khilafah is the Khilafah al-Nubuwa, or the prophetic Khilafah. And we bear witness that they are in Jannah, those ten who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore witness that were in Jannah. And we befriend the remaining companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we refrain from delving into the issues that they differ. And we worship Allah with our belief that these four imams are the rightly guided khalifas, and that they are outstanding, and that no one has the virtues that they have, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. This is what we wanted to present as an explanation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there were any questions pertaining to this last point. InshaAllah. Yes.
You mentioned
2 years for Abu Bakr, 10 years for Umar, and 12 years for Uthman, radiallahu anhu. 2 years for Abu Bakr, 10 years for Umar, 12 years for Uthman, and then 6 for Ali, radiallahu anhu. And that's 30 years in totality. And this is the 30 years that the Messenger of Allah وسلم, was speaking about for the Khilafat al-Nubuwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best. Yes, yes, sir.
What Allah?
Who made Allah? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Amantu billah. Whenever this question comes to you, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say, I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, from the devil. And I believe in Allah. Allah is the khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. And we don't ask who made Allah, as the devil is the one who whispers to you to tell you to ask that question. Whenever the devil whispers to us and says, say who created Allah or who made Allah, then say, I seek refuge in Allah from the devil and I believe in Allah. Alhamdulillah. Excuse me. If the brothers and sisters from Atlantic City have any comments or questions pertaining to this last point of love of the Salaf al-Salih. The brothers and sisters in Plainfield. That's the last one. The brothers and sisters from P-Skills, if they have any questions pertaining to this issue or comments. Allah yabarak feek. Maybe I have a question. Why do the people continue to act as if the da'wah as-salafiyya or the da'wah to the following, the understanding and the practical application of our Salaf al-Salih is something new or something unheard of before? Why do the people continue to act like this and just and we've heard so many statements, hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, statements of his companions, many of the statements of the ulama and their books of aqidah to establish the basic fundamental beliefs of the Muslims. They mention this point. How are the people keep saying, where do they get this stuff from? And are the people still saying that? Yeah, we're going to let you answer that, inshallah. Try to speak up a little louder. You know what? If it was just the masses of the Muslims, then we can understand. As inshallah ta'ala, if the people don't know, this is definitely my position. Anyone amongst the masses of the Muslims, inshallah ta'ala, we want to be as gentle and as easy as we can, and as dedicated and as hardworking as we can, in order to teach them Islam, even if they reject it. because we understand that it takes time, as when we look at our own lives and how long it took us just to accept Islam, let alone to accept the principles of Islam, we can understand that. The point we don't understand is that the people say that they're knowledgeable of Islam, and that they're supposed to be Sheikh so-and-so, and Imam so-and-so, and scholar so-and-so. Even we remember, وَلِعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, when they said that the brother is coming to refute the da'wah to Salafiyya. And we went down to Brantford Place to listen to his lecture, and we wind up having to refute even his lecture that wasn't a refutation on the da'wah of the truth. Because how can you refute the truth? وَمَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا ضَلَالٍ, as Allah tells us. And what is besides the truth other than falsehood? And really, even when we had a chance to address the brother, Alhamdulillah, as he didn't really like me to mention his name, but I told him that we mentioned his name so that there's no refutation for the da'wah of the truth and the people of knowledge. I just ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to soften their hearts up to the truth of Islam so that they can teach the people what the people ought to know. As one of our sheikhs, Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Bani, he said, advising the scholars in Arabia, he said, you're responsible for all of this deviance and the bid'ah that's being practiced by the people. What is wrong with the people of knowledge that they only teach the people what the people already know? As if they're afraid that the people are going to say, we never heard that. Where you get that from? The people of knowledge, they're going to teach the people what they don't know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his messenger, the Yu'allim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach the people what they didn't know. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, to teach the people what they didn't know. Would anybody be pleased that somebody just come to tell him everything he knows? And every time he tell you something, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. How is the person going to be teaching in the masjid every day, teaching the people, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. You do that once a week on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, where you just teach the people what they already know, just to remind them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know you have to stand before Allah. You know you have to make dua, and you have to stay on your salah. You have to prepare yourself for the meeting of Allah. This is a reminder that comes once a week for Yawm al-Jumu'ah. But when the Muslim people of knowledge teach the people of the deen, then they're going to teach them how to worship Allah. And the people might know it, and the people might not know what they're teaching. But the people of knowledge shouldn't back down because the people say, where he get that from? He got it from the book that he quoted to you. He got it from ayat so-and-so. He got it from hadith of the Prophet so-and-so. And the people are still asking. And we remember last year when the people were asking, Masjid Durar, we never heard of that. And I remember telling the people, you never heard of it? I thought you said you read the Quran. It's right in the Quran. And then after that, the people said, oh. Yani, subhanallah al-azim. We just ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for his success. We'll just end this, inshallah ta'ala, that the Islamic Center of East Orange invites the Muslims to an open forum this Friday, August the 9th at 7 p.m. And the topic is Muslim unity. How do we unite? Why do we unite? When do we unite? With who are we going to unite? Inshallah, this topic will be explored and discussed, and advice will be given and taken by the Muslims who come in order to come together on a solution in light of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we hope that everybody attends, inshallah ta'ala, to give the advice and the solution and to answer these questions of how do we unite, as this issue of unity is always in the air. So that the following week, inshallah ta'ala, we can really talk on what we're going to do to unite the Muslims for real, inshallah ta'ala. And Allah knows best. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.